Your home for sports on the radio. We are 95.3 The Score.
I hope you're ready. It's that time.
This is going to be cool.
Climb aboard for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
A day that will live in sports radio infamy.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
We're talking the big deal, the real deal.
On Highway 99 in Junction City, online at GuaranteeRV.com.
I am not only drinking the Kool-Aid, I'm the manufacturer.
I am losing my mind.
Tannen, it might be semi-circle time.
Hi, I'm Steve, and, well, I brought a list.
And now, a guy with tons and tons of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
And broadcasting them, searching for answers.
Yeah, what the hell are we doing?
It's Steve Tannen.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-dun-dun-dun.
Tannenism.
Sports Talk is here. Nick is there. You're out there. I'm here. Thanks for tuning in. So they're about to reveal the new selection committee rankings, and I already posted them. You don't need ESPN. Here's my prediction for the new playoff rankings. One, doesn't matter. Two, you know what you need to do. Three, same time next week. Four, not Arkansas. That's my playoff four as we speak. You seem disappointed. Are you angry?
In my opinion, that sucks.
Are you angry because I ruined it for you?
It's just, you know, it's a played out joke. We get it. Doesn't matter. It's very important, Steve. These are the most important rankings that will come out on this day in November.
But they don't mean anything.
But they do to me.
Well, all right. By the way, that story about Dion Waiters. Dude got dosed by a teammate on a plane. I mean, that's never the whole mind-altering thing. You know, I'm good with vodka and wine, and just let's leave it at that. Imagine losing it a little bit, and it's like trying to piecemeal together once your brain has taken that detour. It's like, oh, my God, I'm in a little piece of metal shooting through the sky at 38,000 feet. Ah! That's just a brutal. By the way, that teammate has to get the crap beat out of him, like they did with Private Pyle in Full Metal Jacket, when they all put soap in their socks and they tied him down and they just beat the crap out of him. That's the gauntlet that Waiter's teammate, who dosed him on the plane, has to go through for sure. That's bad. That's bad news. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. The Oregon Duck basketball team, the men, playing Memphis tonight. That's a 6 o'clock tip from Moda. ESPN's got the game, and Jake Billis will be providing the analysis. An Oregon win, and all of a sudden you've got a guy I consider the most prominent voice in the game following you and talking about you on the four-letter network. This is a big opportunity. I downloaded some of, and by the way, Dan Shulman's calling the game. He's one of the best play-by-play guys. I generally, probably like a lot of people who follow all sports, he generally, to me, I always default to him as a baseball guy because he does ESPN Radio, ESPN TV. He's terrific. So he and Billis, 6 o'clock. We're off at 5:30. Joey Mack and the crew up at what's that stadium up there? Moda Center. If I was, you know, I'm just not saying this for effect. I almost called it Memorial Coliseum. They haven't played there since 95. anyway, if you follow sports closely and you, beyond listening to a show like this and following along on TV, on social media, if you ever check out game notes, when teams play each other, well, obviously in conference, you could just do the history and talk about, you know, when was the last time, who's on a winning streak and, you know, records. So Memphis's game notes, Memphis's, that, is that a thing? The game notes for Memphis on page one, they have a by the numbers, and they're really drawing parallels and talking a little bit about the Duck team. So it says 29-79 career points scored by the Oregon starting five compared to Memphis. The Diaper Dandies have scored just 121 combined points between the five of them. And I was telling Nick this earlier, this is unbelievable. It says 2008, Memphis and Oregon nearly met in the 2008 NCAA's tournament. And that was the year Memphis went all the way to the final game. Mario Chalmers of Kansas hit the tying three at the buzzer. And then I think it was Derrick Rose missed the clutch foul shot. And the Tigers, then coached by Calipari, lost in the Natty. And that year when Oregon, on the heels of their second Final Four under Ernie Kent, played Mississippi State and lost, or they would have played Memphis in the second round. So they had never played. There's no connection, but they almost played 11 years ago in the big dance. So there you go. I guess Achiuwa, their freshman, well, that's all they do. They start five freshmen, and the first guy off the bench, DJ Jeffries, is a freshman. So Precious Achiuwa and James Wiseman, the guy who's been in the news a lot this week, played in the Nike Hoop Summit at Moda in April. That's the connection. All right, so I might as well, even though it doesn't matter and it's not going to be Arkansas. So Oklahoma is 10. Penn State is 9. So where's Oregon going to be? 6 or 5? What do you think? Glad, make a bet. 5? Is that hopeful, or is that something? Would you bet on it?
Well, I...
By the way, it's such garbage Minnesota's ranked behind teams who've lost. I'm sorry. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, they did the good thing where they're ranked ahead of the team that they just beat. I just think
that would have been awesome. I
think people are going to be up on the Oregon having their bye last week might not have boost. If the Oregon had played last week and won,
by the way, Utah 7.
I think Oregon would have been 4, but because they have the bye, I think they'll still be on the outside looking in at 5.
So Minnesota hasn't lost. Utah lost to a team that just became bowl eligible, and Minnesota just beat a team they had 5th. It's such garbage. It's such garbage. It's like, you need Herm Edwards on there saying, you play to win the game. So it should be in no order, LSU, Minnesota, Baylor, Clemson. Who's the other unbeaten team? Who am I? Ohio State. That's 1 through 5. Everything else is a lie. It's a fraud. Could I? If I bring legal action, does it have to be settled by the next selection show? Because they could be like, well, we're having your case thrown out of court. We listened to you and we changed the rankings for this week.
Would you just say, okay, I'll be here next Tuesday afternoon. I'll see you guys then.
I'll just carry around. I'll have my own traveling notary just to keep updating the paperwork in small claims court. So that's what we've got right now. I didn't even see, is Baylor in? Did they call Baylor's number yet? 13. Unbeaten team in a major conference is 13th. Behind 2-loss teams.
They're pretty not good, Steve.
But they've won. They're positioned. I mean,
but the point of the rankings is the eye test thing and how you play and how you do or whatever. They dropped spots. I mean, they took a TCU team to overtime and only got to 20 points because it took 3 overtimes.
Oh, I don't even know if they're actually one of the 20 best teams in the country, but no, they won all their games and they should be ranked higher than everybody who's lost.
Kirk Herbstreit's doing the thing again where he's got all of the helmets behind him in order, and he generally, people, I think it was the thing the first couple of years, he would have strategically placed the helmets like in a certain box of the top 4 teams right, or of the top 6 teams, and he's got Oregon in that top 6, which would be one up from where they were last week, but depends on
that's because Penn State lost.
Well, right, they're still on the outside looking in at 5 or on the outside looking in at 6.
It's exhausting. So LSU was 1. That's a shocker. So I'm not all about what I think should be. I'm all about the bet. So they're going to go LSU, Ohio State, right? And then Clemson will probably be 4. And
Clemson 3, Alabama 4 is my bet.
You still think Bama's going to be in the top 4?
Yes.
I guess just because of what's perceived as a close loss. So Ohio State is 2.
Well, that's the argument that you're forming right now that they're going to be talking about all week, is how the one-loss Alabama team should still be in the playoff despite not even winning their own division in the SEC.
Clemson jumps to 4, by the way.
3.
3, sorry. By the way, the part of me just, I wish they could have put up there, but it had it been a glitch, Alabama at 1. Just for the conspiracy theorists. We don't care if they lost. It's all about Bama. They're 1. Yeah, but they're 5-6. I don't care. Bama's in.
The graphics guy is like, no, it's got.
Georgia's 4.
I forgot about Georgia.
UGA is 4.
Forgot a whole lot about Georgia. The graphics guy is probably like, Nick Saban knows a lot about my family, and I have to put Alabama number 1.
I'm sorry. He's a whistleblower. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. So it's Bama, Oregon, Oregon, Bama, 5 or 6. There you have it.
We
so
want Bama.
Bama is 5. And the Dukes are going to be 6. So they moved up 1. And, you know, Georgia, with the loss to South Carolina, huh? It's ridiculous.
It's just the SEC and being the better team that's going to win the other half of the not-so-good SEC. And you've got the SEC championship game is then another playoff game between them and LSU, assuming Georgia doesn't Georgia things up down the stretch, which they've kind of already done against South Carolina. But again, it's an overtime loss on the road. And I don't know. It's all optics and things.
By the way, I like this. No team stayed in the same rank as last week. Everybody moved. By the way, it says LSU achieved their highest ranking in the football era. Really? One's high? Wait a minute. What could they be? Well, 1 week we were ranked half. That's got to be the single most.
It's all in that box.
Sneaky two-time and no good bastages. So this week, oh yeah, by the way, make a note of Georgia this week, because guess where they are? Jordan Hare playing Auburn. So, man, if you're an Oregon fan, you're like, go Tigers, beat Georgia this week and beat Bama in the Iron Bowl. If Oregon and Utah then went out with a Baylor loss and the Ducks win the Pac-12 championship game on December 6th, you could lock Oregon in without a doot. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. All right, I gotta bring something up here, because we all heard the released audio of Ed Orgeron of, by the way, now highest ranked in the college football era, LSU.
Number 1!
So
why wasn't I doing that?
He had the leaked audio of him basically telling Alabama to F off, and they're gonna, you know, in the aftermath. And then he was talking this week about in essence, whoever the kid was that played it, he sounded like he was born in the 1470s. Listen to this sound, because he talks about these phones, like the cell phone. This is year 2. Check out this game.
I wish that wouldn't happen. Yeah, that shouldn't happen. And I addressed the player that did it. He felt bad about it. You know those they so used to having those phones on them all the time.
Phones.
We have pregame meal, and I said, okay, will you turn your phones off just a little bit? You know, I think that's just the product of today. Everybody carries their phone with them all the time.
And I need to interject here, because I can only think of one word. Just this guy, that's not his voice. He's a fake. Nobody speaks like that. And for those who are saying, what about Scott Farrell? He's got a gravelly voice. I get that. But Billy Bob Thornton from Sling Blade is like, dude, that's a little over the top. So join me. Does anybody honestly believe Ed Orgeron talks like that? 284-8571. Yeah, on some of them, the Heart Taters were playing Alabama this week. And I'm number 1. It's I drink. We're out of college football player era. By the way, that hurts just to talk like that.
Hey, you get down there on that gun, boy. Damn phone's out. They should be talking about the phones. Everybody put the phones away.
What?
Everybody's going to put the short phone down. Everybody eating the gumbo. Put the phone down for the pregame meal. Everybody's going to have gumbo. Go tiger.
Yeah, the deep bayou accent. Sometimes I don't even know what they're saying. Going back so long ago, when I first got to town, it was still April of 1990. And the Good Times downtown used to have a pinball machine. And a couple of truckers came in, and they were from Baton Rouge. And they were kind of deep bayou guys. I never had a conversation where I kept having to ask them, I don't understand what you're saying. I said to these guys, who were really nice guys, I'm like, I don't mean to be rude. I don't understand what you're saying. And they kept explaining, and they'd be laughing, and they were talking about, you know, one time I put him in a hit. It ended up, he was saying that he wound up playing pool against the guy for money. They got into a fight, and he punched him in the head. I'm telling you, I'm in a fight, and I put him in a hit. I was like, what? And his buddy was explaining that, you know, it's like his family was from one of those towns really deep in the bayou that, you know, had a stoplight. And it was one of the most unique accents I had ever heard. And it's like, he would say something and start laughing. And I'd be like, I don't know what you're saying. So I would assume Orgeron is rooted there. I mean, it is the most, there's a deep South accent. There's the obnoxious accent, you know, from people like me in Brooklyn and Jersey. You know, you get the North accents from like Fargo. And then that is just one of the most unique twists on our language that you got to hang in there, man. All right.
You can hear the E-A-U-X when he says
right.
Go.
Right,
like
right,
that,
right.
It's
that's
not G-O,
go,
go, go, tag. You hear it in
wah,
the accent.
Wah, 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 wah. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Ed. Ed, good afternoon. Thanks for calling. How's it going?
Yeah, I wanted to dispute your lock that if Baylor loses and if Auburn beats both Bama and Georgia, that they'd be in. There's people saying that if LSU and Georgia play each other, even if Georgia had beaten them, that Georgia would get in as a two-loss SEC champion.
Oh, that's right. Whoever. And, by the way, Ed, whoever said that to you is an idiot. There's no chance of that happening. None.
Okay,
zero.
I hope not. I hope not. But they say LSU will get in as a loser, and I agree with you. But a lot of people are saying that.
I have not heard anybody say it. So could you give me a reference? Because
Fullride. Almost all of the people on Sirius, when you're listening to the college, they are all saying that LSU can lose. I've heard it in every single one, that they can lose the championship.
They could lose the SEC title game and still get in.
Because of their record, if it's a close game, I heard Neuheisel say it, and they're all saying it.
Well, it depends what happens around them. If everybody else, if there's three unbeatens and then one loss conference champs, it probably isn't going to happen. I mean, obviously.
You're right on the three loss, but you said Baylor loses, so that's on there. But so they would beat out the Ducks or Utah, whoever won the Pac-12 with one loss. They would put LSU in as a one-loss champ, loser of the championship game.
All right, I'll tell you what. You get a hold of those guys, and if things come to fruition.
They're all saying it, but they're not listening to me.
No. I'm saying I'll get a hold of them and see what they want to bet. Tell them put their money where their mouth is.
I do agree. I don't think a loser of a championship game should get in. I think that's wrong. But I'm having a hard time when I hear of the SEC bias that so many people have.
Right. And by the way, a lot of it is SEC bias, but that's not what the selection committee is only made of. So there you go. All right, Ed, thanks a lot. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, if you wanted to jump on in. Somebody texted, Ed Orgeron sounds like Farmer Fran from Waterboy. I got nothing. I never saw the movie. Is that the Sandler movie?
Yes.
Yeah, pass. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, if you want to jump on in. So the rankings are out. Everybody relax. This is the time that you really need to pay homage to the late, great Al Davis. If you're an Oregon fan, just win, baby, and you want Utah in there, because it'll be a 5-6 for the Pac-12 title, if not a 4-5, and whoever wins it will have that quality win that'll stand up certainly against anybody Alabama's beaten right now. And remember, the Auburn Tigers are an important team to keep an eye on, because they play right now two teams who are in the top 4-5. They play UGA this week, and they play Alabama on November 30th in the traditional season-ending Iron Bowl. So UGA plays at Auburn, then they're home for Texas A&M, and then they have their traditional non-conference game against Georgia Tech out of the ACC. And sorry, when push comes to shove, they will evaluate that South Carolina loss. The only chance Georgia has of getting in is winning out, winning the conference championship game, beating LSU, and hoping that they get some help around them. Because I don't care what anybody says. If Baylor wins out, they're in. They're an unbeaten conference champ. In. If whoever Ohio State or Minnesota wins out, in. Clemson wins out, in. LSU wins out, in. Everybody else needs help. They're the only four who control destiny. Destiny. So before we break, our folks at Beer Garden are getting ready for a huge weekend. There's nothing about this that doesn't sound great. The fourth annual Chili, Beer, and Rock and Roll. It starts on Thursday, runs through Sunday, and 4 days, live music, 5 food trucks with unique variations of chili, and 27 taps. All the beer is made here in Eugene. So that's pretty cool. The trucks, the Bounty Meat and Cheese, Lonnie Moku, Moy Pokey, the Zingaro, and Once Famous. And actually, one of the things I like here is they got some vegetarian options. So you got that going for you. The music starts Thursday at 7:30, 6:15 Friday, 5 on Saturday, 4 on Sunday. So Beer Garden, online beergardenme.com. Like them on Facebook, follow on Twitter, and we appreciate the good folks with their longtime support of their three magnificent venues, Tap and Growler, 5th and Pearl, downtown Eugene, Beer Garden on West 6th, and on A Street, you've got Public House. So yeah, fourth annual Chili, Beer, and Rock and Roll, Thursday through Sunday. All right, break time is here. We'll come back. We'll have an update. And, yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit about the Pac-12 football. The Pac-12 Men's Football League next. 95.3 The Score.
Sports Talk with Steve Tannen is brought to you by Garrity RV Supercenters. Name one of America's top 5 RV dealers. They don't just sell fun, they guarantee it. See over 700 options for every budget at Garrity.com.
Play action off of this on 2nd and 7, and they get to him, and they do so by bringing Williams, and then the ball comes out. And picking it up is Buckner. And we've got a San Francisco touchdown. Great football awareness.
And a touchdown. By the way, Defoe played here 3 years, or did he play all 4 years? Great teams, great player, high draft pick. Really? Nobody came up with a run, DeForest, run. Has anybody? Seriously, did I just make that up? I want evidence. What a What a nutty game last night. It's a nutty plane. So, tick, tick, tick. So I was looking at Pac-12 bowl affiliations earlier today because I'll tell you the truth, with Oregon and Utah leading the divisions and high enough in the college football rankings where they're in the playoff picture, then you got USC kind of looming a half game back, but with the victory over the Utes in their pocket. I don't know. Does anybody seriously think that UCLA is going to beat Utah and USC and end up winning the South? That would be zany nuts. Two teams are off this week. 10 of the 12 teams are in action in league this coming it's just Saturday, right? I don't think there are any off games the rest of this week. Let me see. Saturday. Yep, five conference games. So how about this? Just from a strict look at the calendar angle, you know, you want to know when the regular season for college football is over? 2 weeks from Saturday. You know, I'm like, I could do the math. I know it's the 30th, but I literally went on Google, looked at a map, and I went 1, 2, 3. It's like I didn't trust myself to say it until I saw it. That's how surprising that is. And the Pac-12 championship game is 3 weeks from Friday. That's 5 o'clock ABC. Oregon needs a win or an Oregon State loss, and they're in. Literally, like, magic numbers, I always connect more to baseball, but here's the only way Oregon isn't in Santa Clara on Friday, December 6th. They have to lose to Arizona Saturday, at Arizona State a week from Saturday, then the Civil War at Autzen. And that has to work at the same time. This is like, and, not but, or, what were those if-and statements in math we used to do? I think it was maybe Algebra 1. So Oregon State has to beat the Sun Devils at home, then go on the road and take down the Cougs and Pullman, and as mentioned, Oregon here. By the way, Oregon State still hasn't won at home in conference this year. It's really strange how they've won three on the road. So this week, 1:30, Pac-12 Network, Stanford at Wazoo. And so at 4-5, 3-4 in league, the Cardinal, remember, they've got to win 2 of 3 just to be bowl eligible. And they play Notre Dame as well, who's, you know, Notre Dame's a good team. And they host Cal. But the ironic thing about the Cardinals, for all their problem, they could still finish second in the North and be the number 5 team from the conference, which would mean they could still get into the Sun Bowl against an ACC team. As for the Cougs, they're in last. You're going to lose. Nah, 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 nah. They're the only Pac-12 team with one conference win. And you notice suddenly, you don't see Mike Leach connected as national treasure. He's not so adorable, and I'm still rooting for the Bear. Mr. Personality needs 2 wins to be bowl eligible. He's got this one, Oregon State, and the Apple Cup in Seattle. Fox Sports 1, 4:30, the Beavs host Arizona State, both be in bounce-back mode. OSU, you know, we didn't talk about it much yesterday, and I've been kind of on the Beavs, hoping they do well and, you know, thinking that they've made some really important strides. But, man, did you see what they did? Did any of you watch the Oregon State-Washington loss? That was Friday night. Now, you see they scored 7 points. Yeah, that was the defense. The offense did not score a point. And that's – and they have a good off – well, I don't know. Maybe they just really are playing crap teams. I don't know what to make of it. The offense was offensive. The only score the Beavs posted, Jadon Grant had a pick six of Jacob Eason. They had 6 first downs, 31 yards rushing, by the way, and they made up for it with 88 yards passing. They had 119 total yards. I mean, Washington's got a good defense. They ain't the 2,000 Ravens or 85 Bears. Yuck. Arizona State showed some serious vulnerabilities defending the pass. I mean, it's kind of weird to talk about Southern Cal right now with their air raid implemented by Graham Harrell. I mentioned it during It's Lit yesterday, but just terrible tackling, giving up a bunch of big plays. And I'll tell you what, this has been a very up and down year two for Herm Edwards and the Fear the Fork. They still need a win to lock up a bowl. They're just 2-4 in the Pac-12. And according to ArizonaSports.com, the Fighting Herm Edwards expect to have their quarterback, freshman Jaden Daniels, in there. Although, the dude Joey Yellen, who is also a freshman, came in. He played pretty damn good against USC. He did throw two interceptions, but he had 300 yards and two TD passes. I mentioned UCLA, the Fighting Chip Kellys are at Utah, and it's like, sorry, Chipster, love you, but Oregon fans, you got to root for Utah to win out. You got to be greedy. You got to root for Utah and Oregon to win out, so that Pac-12 championship game, if chips fall properly, pun completely intended, for the Fighting Kellys, it could, as we stand now, it's not, but a Baylor loss and maybe one other upset, the Pac-12 championship game, if it's between a 4 and a 5, could be a default entry into the playoff. So anyway, the Bruins, by the way, we were talking with
playoffs
technically and mathematically when we chatted up Ashley Adamson of the Pac-12 network last week. The Bruins could win out and the South is theirs. So they're 4-2 in league. They're tied with USC, who they play, and they're a game behind Utah, who they also play Saturday, 5 o'clock on Fox, and they need two wins, which won't be easy, like I said. The Utes are at Southern Cal. They finish with Cal, who they had last week off. They've won three straight, and as for Utah, as we've said, in playing our home game, it's all about the Ducks. Utah's got to win out, and they'll be a strong favorite in all three. They're at Arizona next week. They wrap with the Buffs at home on the 30th. And by the way, in this game, Utah, a 21-point favorite. So the odds makers are like, love what Chip is doing. Yeah, not so much. USC, aforementioned, is at California. The Bears are off a nice win against the Cougs at home. By the way, they, you know, the staple under Wilcox has been a good defense. They've just been erratic offensively. But they held Washington State and all that arsenal to just 20 points. And now Cal is just a win away from bowl eligibility. Devon Modesto Modster returned from injury. By the way, the Cougs threw it 60 times. They had 400 passing yards. Guess how many rushing? Just off the top of your head. 14.
Oh.
Not bad. And it wasn't that close. I mean, the Cougs were down 33-14. They scored with 5 seconds to go. And Modster had a nice efficient game, 16 to 24, 233 touchdowns throwing, rush for 54, and another TD. And Southern Cal does not control their fate. Despite the win against Utah, they need to win them all, get to 7-2, and hope Utah gets knocked off somewhere. I got it. After all this, all that's left is UCLA and Troy. And like I said, they got to hope that the Utes get bumped. All right, we'll lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. I wanted to remind you, we'll be back at you with Coors Light Frost Brewed Friday. We've also, actually what I wanted to do was tell you about the tailgater. Because It's back. When Oregon's got a home game, we're putting on the Ritz with our friends at Coors Light at Autzen. It's Ducks, Arizona this Saturday. Remember, 2 hours before kickoff, so 5:30 sharp. That's 2 hours of free food from Toxic, free beverages, courtesy of us at the VIP Tailgater. Now, you can only get your passes at one place. That's any Toxic location on River Road, the one in Valley River's Food Court, or West 11th. Your pass gets you into the tailgate party for free food and beverage 2 hours before kickoff. So come tailgate with us. Celebrate Oregon Duck football. Go Ducks from all of us at KUJZ 95.3, The Score. All right, does that bring us to break time? Should we take a break now? We'll do that. And coming up next on this very radio station, Matt McCarl of New Leaf Hyperbarics will jump in for a thought or two about the work they're doing, by the way, in this very building. We'll be back with more Sports Talk, the home stretch of the 4 o'clock hour, 95.3, The Score.
The Score is your home for live sports talk all day, every day. Download the TuneIn app and take 95.3 The Score with you wherever you go.
Jazz Shelly inbounding. Right baseline, goes out to Winterburn on the right wing. Couple dribbles, crosses over, drives in the lane, and scores! Holly Winterburn, nice move. And more of the rebound. Down the floor, looking for help. Here's Giobbe running the floor. Got a nice catch from a nice pass and laid it in.
Yeah, at the top of the hour, just past about 5 after 5, we'll talk with Kelly Graves, coach of the Duck women. You had the freshmen there, Jazz Shelley and Holly Winterburn, the performer of the big, Lydia Giomi, 18 points, 9 rebounds. She's a key. We'll talk with Coach about that as we welcome you back to Sports Talk 95.3, The Score. Our weekly guest is here now.
Yes.
Matt McCarl of New Leaf Hyperbarics joins us. We were trying to hide. How'd you find us?
Well, you know, it's pretty easy. You're right above me.
Oh, that's right. You're in the same building. You know, it's amazing. I've worked in a lot of big office buildings over my life when I lived in Philly. And it's amazing how you could basically be oblivious to everything. Because
right.
I pretty much come here, hit 4, and come in here. So how long have you guys been in the building?
Christmas Eve will be 4.5 years, actually.
All right. If you'd have said something like 10, I'd be like, oh, man, I am the least observant person in the history of mankind. I always say I'd be a terrible witness. It'd be like, did you see the guy who ran up and beat you up? Nah, I was thinking about the Giants or something like that. So, again, give us an overview, Matt. New Leaf Hyperbarics online, the website folks can check out, newleafhyperbarics.com. You know, a lot of people hear a word and it registers. And especially for those who follow sports, mm-hmm. and you're thinking, all right, what is New Leaf Hyperbarics?
So New Leaf Hyperbarics, we do mild pressure hyperbaric therapy, and the easiest way to think about hyperbarics is oxygen therapy under pressure.
And what got you involved? I'm always very curious. When I have a first-time guest, whatever they're doing, whether they're a player or the coach, it's like, I want to know how you got right here.
Awesome question. So about 6 years ago, I had had a neck surgery and was off work. And was up in Washington for a conference on learning how to eat differently and kind of changing my lifestyle as far as it came to nutrition. And at the conference, there was a company there called New Leaf Hyperbarics, and they were a local mom and pop clinic that was doing some amazing things up there. And when I saw what they were doing, I couldn't believe that there wasn't something like that here in Eugene, because it seemed like it was a perfect fit for this community and something that was needed. And so after conversating with them a bit, we decided we were going to franchise what they were doing, and here I am 6 years later.
All right. Let's get to some specifics, because you're talking about tying what you do into concussions, mm-hmm. and you hit a raw nerve while we were off mic. You mentioned a fellow by the name of Joe Willie Namath, who,
that's right.
For anybody who's old enough, like my age, if you watched Namath play, the one thing you knew, especially after 1969 when the Jets were just bad, 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 is he got the hell beat out of him.
Right.
So what have we learned? How do you kind of connect that dot?
So, yeah, Joe Namath is one of the most popular gentlemen that you might know from football that's done hyperbarics and reversed his 5 concussions that he got playing the game. back in 2012, he started doing hyperbarics, and he did over 120 dives, as they call them, and his brain went from having low oxygen in the left hemisphere to being healthy after just a couple of years of treatments.
Well, you could see for a guy who played in his era, you know, back when he used to hurt his knee, they had to cut him open. There was no scopes. And for the trauma you said, I mean, you see him now at his age. I mean, this is a guy that graduated college in 1965. So he was born in the early 1940s. So he's in his 70s. And you can see he's definitely got his faculties about him. And he does commercials. He does guest appearances.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a pretty good spokesman.
Absolutely. And he's actually started a foundation and all kinds of things for helping athletes with the concussions and CTEs.
Wow. That's amazing. All right. So give me, like we do in radio, we like to say, Matt, give us a reset and tell about your business, where you're located, and you know, some of the basics folks need to know.
Perfect. Well, as we mentioned, we are right below you at 1200 Executive Parkway, but we're in Suite 230, so we're on the second floor of that floor. You go right by getting here. yeah, you can reach us at 541-636-3278, or like you said earlier, www.newleafhyperbarics.com. We also have a nice Facebook page, and be New Leaf Eugene on Facebook.
All right. Cool. Good seeing you.
You
and
too, sir.
Again, for folks out there who are listening, feel free to text me, email me, whatever, if you've got a question and something you want to talk to Matt about, or maybe even contact Matt at his place of business. All right, good stuff. Appreciate it. If you want in, we got a few minutes left here at the end of the 4 o'clock hour, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. We were talking Pac-12 earlier, and you know, it just dawned on me that coming out of the break, I know it's not definitive, but it's something that a lot of Oregon fans are fixated on. So the new college football playoff rankings came out. LSU 1, Ohio State 2, Clemson 3, Bama on the outside looking in. Despite a loss to South Carolina, they got Georgia 4. Who's 5? Bama 5, Oregon 6, Utah 7. So, and again, don't sweat the small you-know-what. Like we were talking about, I've talked about for more than a week now, Oregon's path to the playoff is clear, it's just difficult. And they need help. There are 5 teams that I believe control their destiny, and if the current unbeatens whittle it down, and that means that Minnesota and Ohio State, remember, they would play in the conference championship game. Now, Minnesota is going to, you know, the rest of their games, I mean, they passed a substantial test. I don't think a lot of people had Minnesota knocking off Penn State. Our buddy Lee Sterling did, by the way. Ohio State, by the way, when did Maryland become like the worst team in America?
They beat out Rutgers?
Well, I don't even count. You want to know? I discount Rutgers so badly, I don't even think of them as a team worth discussing. But 73 points, man. That's a lot of points to give up. Wisconsin barely snuck by Iowa. The Fighting Illini in a huge upset beat Michigan State. By the way, that was Lee Sterling and Paramount Sports. 50-point upset special. And we thank him for that. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. We're on a somewhat shorter leash today. Not quite as short as last night when we brought you the Seattle Seahawks victory, pushing them within a game of San Francisco in the NFC West. And ending, oh, by the way, I guess I didn't see it. Normally somebody jokes about it on Twitter and you see a video or something. So did the 72 Dolphins get together today and pop the champagne when the last unbeaten goes down? That's usually been their tradition. Jeez, Hard to believe that's 47 seasons ago. So got that going. One of the reasons we're off early tonight is Oregon basketball. The men's basketball team is up at Moda playing Memphis as a small 3.5 point, 4 point favorite. Obviously, it'll be a substantially yellow and green crowd, but with the ruling that was handed down based, for James Wiseman, who is eligible to play, and he's the big fella. It'd be hard to miss 32, by the way. He's 7'1". He's a load. He's a hell of a player. And he's already been a 20-10 man. And Precious Achiuwa. They go three guards. He's 6'9", 225. And I don't even see Okoro listed on the game notes. But that's Memphis, so I don't know. Has anybody heard anything? Have you seen anything come across Twitter about his availability? I know they announced on Saturday that he wasn't going to be in there. Apparently, he got hit by a car at a crossing. So, that sounds kind of bad. So what his status is for tonight. But either way, we'll be getting off about 5:30, and Joey Mack will have the action for you on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
According to at John Rothstein on Twitter from earlier today, Oregon's Francis Okoro is a game-time decision for tonight's game against Memphis, according to Dana Altman, who missed Saturday's game against Boise City after being hit by a car. John Rothstein did say Boise State. That is from 9:20 this morning. Nothing else has come out because the game hasn't started yet, so I would expect maybe in the next half hour or so for that information to come out.
All right. Thanks for the update. He's no hub date. I still crack up the game notes where they can't talk about the time Memphis and Oregon played. Instead, the front page of the Memphis game notes said, Memphis and Oregon nearly met in the 2008 NCAA tournament in Little Rock. Tigers advanced to the second round. Oregon did not. And that's it. That's the end of their game notes. Absolutely hysterical. All right. Looking ahead to the 5 o'clock hour, we're going to come right out of the gate and talk Oregon women's basketball. Kelly Graves will be joining us next. 95.3, The Score.
But, man, y'all got to coconut up.